Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person and those of you who are joining us online. We have just a few announcements this morning. It is the first Sunday of the month, and so after our regular offering, we'll take up our basket offering, and this month it's going to Crisis Ministry. Immediately after this worship service, the Cemetery Association has called a meeting to go over their revised policies and procedures, to answer questions, etc. So please stay for that. Next Sunday, we will have a special congregational meeting after worship to talk about the purchase of the Spainauer property next door. The council is meeting this Thursday to learn a little bit more about that as we've gathered more information. So we hope that you'll join us next Sunday after worship. John Lohr is having his surgery this Tuesday. And as you can imagine, there's lots of emotions and nerves all balled up into one. He'll be in the hospital 3 days. But please hold Susan and John in your prayers as he undergoes this surgery. A couple things to keep in mind. The last Sunday of July is our Christmas in July worship service. And then that following week, Saturday, August 3rd, is our VBS day. There'll be a registration link for that in this week's Holly Leaf. So we hope that if you have a kiddo or a grandchild or a friend who would enjoy that, that you'll register them for that. We have just a few birthdays this week. Mary Davis, Gyla Kepley, James Rosick, Sam Curry, Brandy Conrad, and Anderson Conrad. And remembering her baptism is Taylor Fritz. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the God of manna, the God of miracles, the God of mercy. Amen. Drawn to Christ and seeking God's abundance, let us confess our sin. God, our provider, help us. It is hard to believe that there is enough to share. We question your ways when they differ from the ways of the world in which we live. We turn to our own understanding rather than trusting in you. We take offense at your teachings and your ways. Turn us again to you. Where else can we turn? Share with us the words of eternal life and feed us for life in the world. Amen. Beloved people of God, in Jesus, the manna from heaven, you are fed and nourished. By Jesus, the worker of miracles, there is always more than enough. Through Jesus, the bread of life, you are shown God's mercy. You are forgiven and loved into abundant life. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of the covenant, in our baptism, you call us to proclaim the coming of your kingdom. Give us the courage you gave the apostles, that we may faithfully witness to your love and peace in every circumstance of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Brantley. Good morning, Maddie. I'm glad to see you today. Well, I wanted to ask you all a few questions about symbols. So a symbol is something that tells us something without words. And so what does this symbol mean? A heart? What does a heart mean? It means love, that's right. What do these two fingers mean? They mean peace. What does this symbol mean? It means good job, or I got it. What does this symbol mean? It's a cake. What do you think this cake is telling somebody? Birthday. Happy birthday. Do you see the birthday candles? What is this symbol? It's music. That means there's music. How about this one? A T or a cross, right? And the cross reminds us of Jesus. And so I have a cross too, and so do you. That's right. And up here, there's one everywhere. What's this mean? A cup of wine and a loaf of bread. Does it mean communion? It does mean communion. And last but not least, what is this? A seashell. That's exactly right. Seashells are on the beach, and seashells mean baptism. They are a symbol for baptism. And I thought, since we're talking about baptism in our children's sermons this summer, we could talk about a seashell. They are on the beach all day. So, do you have any guesses why the seashell might be a symbol for baptism? What's your guess, Brantley? If you can pour water on somebody's head with it? That's exactly right. So I actually have, in the sacristy, we have a container of seashells so that when someone is baptized and their head is over the font, I scoop up water with the seashell and pour it on their head. Three times, right? In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Well, here's how a seashell became to be a symbol for Holy Communion. Some of the earliest drawings of Jesus being baptized are in catacombs or caves from the 100s. And those pictures show Jesus standing in water that went up to about his knees. And the person who baptized him, John the Baptizer, he's holding a seashell to pour water over Jesus' head. And so since the very early days of the church, seashells have been a symbol for baptism. And also it's kind of practical, right? Like if Jesus was standing in water that was knee deep, it'd be hard for him to dunk his head under the water, right? And so John could have picked up water with his hands, but sometimes when you do that, water falls through and you end up with only a little bit of water by the time you pour. But a seashell is kind of like a shovel or a spoon, and it can hold more water to pour on someone's head. And look, even when you were baptized, you got a candle that we lit on the Paschal candle. And do you see a seashell on the candle? Can you show it to me? Yeah, there's a seashell on the candle even. So that every year on your baptism date, you can light this and remember that you were baptized. So when you see a seashell, and they're all over the seashore, aren't they, on the beach, and they're in different places and symbols in the church, you can know that that means baptism. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Thank you for our baptism. And for the love and grace you pour on us. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up this morning. You can go to Children's Church with Susan this morning.
The Old Testament lesson is from Exodus chapter 16. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out for Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked towards the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evenings, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is this?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" Word of God, word of life. Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on the foot of the town, from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven
and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been thinking about stories a lot lately, mostly because as part of this sermon series, Food for the Journey, God's Feast of Memory and Hope, I've been thinking a lot about how the Eucharist tells God's story. But as I've been thinking about stories, I've thought about the fact that there are many stories that we can identify just by the first sentence. So I need a little bit of participation as I read several first sentences and you tell me the story that it comes from. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Tale of Two Cities, yes. Once upon a time, a little girl named Laura traveled in a covered wagon across the giant prairie. Little House on the Prairie, exactly right. Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of number 4 Privet Drive were proud to say that they were normal. Thank you very much. Harry Potter, yes. Call Me Ishmael. Moby Dick. Okay, last but not least. In a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit. Not a nasty, dirty, wet hole filled with the ends of worms and an oozy smell, nor yet a dry, bare, sandy hole with nothing in it to sit down on or to eat. It was a hobbit hole, and that means comfort. Lord of the Rings, it comes from The Hobbit, the first book in The Lord of the Rings. You did good. So there are many stories that we can identify by their first line. But if you think about it, we categorize stories not by their beginning, but by their ending. So if everyone dies in the movie, we would call it a tragedy. Or if the couple in the story end up together and get married, that's a happily ever after kind of story, maybe a rom-com. The point is that how a story ends determines how we make sense of it. It determines what the whole story means. Dear ones, God's story ends beautifully. And even though the end of that story is not yet, we are assured in Christ of its ending. God's story doesn't end with death, it ends with resurrection. God's story doesn't end with my funeral or your funeral or the world's funeral. It ends with the marriage supper of the Lamb. The great feast that we've been reading about in Isaiah 25 when Christ returns and makes all things right and new. And all people will feast on the finest foods and wine, and God will swallow up death forever. Almost always, we read or focus on just a few verses of Scripture at a time. It's not that often that we think about Scripture as a whole. But when we do, we can see that God's story has a gracious beginning, a saving middle, and a glorious end. God's story from beginning to end is a story of steadfast love and faithfulness, a story of unending grace and mercy. And it's a story that can be told with food as the thread woven throughout all of its pages. The Bible begins and ends with meals, and it has meals all throughout the middle. The first words that God spoke to humankind are an invitation to eat of the plants that God provided for them. And the final vision of Scripture is of the renewed and restored world when Jesus fully and completely brings the kingdom of God to earth. And that vision is of a massive and joyful banquet, the feast to come. And then throughout all of the middle of God's story is meal after meal, story after story of how God uses food to show love and care for God's people. Today's Old Testament lesson reminds us that throughout the 40 years that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, God fed them daily with manna in the morning and quail at night. Just a few chapters later in Exodus, we read about when God supplied them water from the rock. Throughout the Gospels, God continued to provide food for God's people in and through Jesus. The very first miracle that Jesus performed was turning a large amount of water into wine. Jesus fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000, he went to Zacchaeus' house to eat with Zacchaeus. In fact, Jesus ate with so many tax collectors and sinners that he was accused of being a drunkard and a glutton and a friend of the wrong sort of people. But the truth is that Jesus sat and ate with countless people throughout his life and his ministry. And as he did, he shared with them table fellowship, and he offered them love and dignity and grace. And then even after his resurrection, Jesus continued to eat with his disciples as he fixed for them breakfast on the beach in John's gospel. And at the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus was only made known to the travelers on the way to Emmaus through the breaking of bread. Beloved, food is woven throughout the pages of God's story, finding its culmination in the Eucharist, in the meal of Holy Communion, in the meal in which Jesus becomes the very food that we eat. God not only continues to provide for us daily food, God continues to provide for us nourishment and comfort and forgiveness as we come to the Lord's table and receive the very presence of Christ in the bread and wine. Week in and week out, God gives us food for the journey through which God strengthens us and transforms us with the very presence of Jesus so that we can become the presence of Jesus for the world. In this feast of memory and of hope, God's story is shared with us again every Sunday as we remember when we come to this table the countless meals that God has provided for God's people in the past. And we simultaneously look forward with hope to the feast that God will provide for all people when Christ comes again. And until that day, we continue to feed on the body of Christ, to become his body in a world that deeply hungers for his presence. And just like that, God's story, ours becomes one that can be told with God's gift of food woven throughout its pages. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen. Thank you.
Let us say what we believe, living in hope and trust. Confess our faith together by the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we join our voices in prayer. Glorious God, you bend down to wash the feet of your disciples. Let the servant church arise in our teaching, our praying, our healing, our doing. Make all your faithful people powerful in weakness and strong in grace. In your mercy, life-giving God, your fingers trace the heavens and your hands mold the earth. Where there is drought, bring nourishing rain. Where there is devastation from fire or flood, bring relief. Sustain the well-being of every living thing. In your mercy, merciful God, you speak and the nations listen. Open those who govern to the cries of all who journey with no food or shelter, particularly people fleeing violence, those seeking freedom, and those in search of a community. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, you embrace, bring wholeness to those who are troubled. We lift before you all those who are sick or struggling, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Scott, Mike, and Joanna, Debbie, John, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Welcoming God, in your presence, strangers become companions and enemies become neighbors. Open our doors to those who have so easily shut out, particularly people who are different from us or who are marginalized by church or society. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal God, you gather us into your house of many dwelling places. We give you thanks for our faithful departed. Inspire us by their lives of faith until with them we rest forever at our journey's end. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, holy and merciful, into your outstretched arms we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with one another. Thank you. Jesus, bread of
life, you have set us at the table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what is sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ has set the table with more than enough for all. Come.
Thank you. Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Jesus, bread of life, you have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world and your own life. In your name we pray. Amen.
The blessing of God, who provides for us, feeds us, and journeys with us, be upon you now and forever. Amen.
Let us say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Body of Christ.
Morning, answer any questions, making clarifications, anybody had any misunderstandings. Had a couple of questions this morning from a member, and they were good questions. It was, what do I do with my money when I want to pay my dues? You just drop them in the offering plate. There's no secret hole to put them in or anything. Just drop them in the offering plate. Daughters were wanting to become members. There's no secret handshake to learn or anything like that. Just put your dues in the collection plate. It's simple, it's easy. We're trying to make it as easy as possible and here to answer any questions you might have. So does anybody have any questions? anybody have any comments? If not a question, a comment. I'm dying up here.
Well, you're making it very easy for this committee at the moment, but I do want to lift up to you that this set of revised rules and policies and procedures, this committee spent nearly 50 hours of time working on this. And so they have put a great deal of time and energy into it. And it is hopefully an easier, more simplified understanding of what we do. So thank you so much to the committee for all of your hard work.
Neil.
Yes, sir.
One thing that folks were asking, if they became members of the church last year, when is the first time that their dues are due? If they join the association.
The calendar year in which you become a member, if you'd like to join the association, that year is a gift. It's free, a gift from the cemetery committee. The next calendar year is when you start paying those dues.
So, we thank you now for our gift from last year, which we didn't have received as a new member.
Yeah.
We go for 2024 year on if we want to be members.
If you want to be members, that's exactly right.
So how do we share with you that we want to be members?
Just put a $35 check in the offering plate.
There you go.
Make sure it's in the cemetery.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's designated to the cemetery.
On your check, down at the bottom where it says...
Four.
Just put cemetery.
And there are these small envelopes that we have in each pew. You could put it in that if you wanted to and write cemetery on that. That way, when they're sorting the monies, they'll know where that goes without having to look at a check.
It's not transferable, but it says must be current with annual maintenance and upkeep fees.
I might find that word. What section?
It's on the front page.
Front page.
What I've got. It says have lifetime membership. It says effective 10/1/2012. Your lifetime memberships are no longer available.
So, in order to be active in the association, you need to meet one of the two criteria underneath. You either have to be a lifetime member or you have to be current with your annual maintenance and upkeep.
I sound like this other thing
to go with that.
No, it says you must meet one of the following requirements, so either one or two.
Now, that being said, maintenance over there, it's ongoing, and it's not necessarily cheap. So even those that have lifetime memberships, if you wanted to make a donation to go towards maintenance and upkeep, that would be fine as well. We're not going to tell you no on that, but you know, we're trying to shore things up. But maintenance and upkeep, the grass is always growing. Tombstones, they need to be weeded around, and that's a heck of a job that Lee Comer does for us doing that. So, you know, we need maintenance fees is what we need. So that's what the $35 per year. But anybody that is a lifetime member, you're more than welcome to make a donation here and there if you want to the cemetery.
I'm gonna put Jennifer, our treasurer, on the spot right quick. About how much do we pay per year for mowing?
$4,000 to $5,000 a year,
that's what I thought. And $4,000 to $5,000 in. There hadn't been a lot of yearly maintenance paid in the last years. That has dwindled down. People not knowing they should pay for whatever reason. We're trying to get annual maintenance paid by people that should be paid, want to pay, because the cost of the mowing is a lot more than it used to be. And I wouldn't mow that for what he gets paid for. I wouldn't start.
No, Lee charges us $125 a week, and when you think about going around all those headstones and markers and everything, it ought to be costing us a lot more.
It's a bargain what we pay, but for the whole summer, spring, fall, the whole year, there's a lot of money goes into just getting the cemetery mowed, and we're just trying to keep up with those costs.
So we spend much more on maintenance and upkeep on mowing than we take in with annual dues.
That's a good one.
Ma'am?
Yes, ma'am.
Are there any significant changes to the policy?
No real significant changes to the policy. Tweaks here and there. The main thing is people just haven't known that they needed to pay their maintenance dues, and we're just trying to make everybody aware of that. We have sent out probably 200 letters at least to lifetime members, members of the church that have been paying dues, and people that are friends of the church, inactive members, whatever. And that was as much a feeling out as if you're not interested in being buried here, let us know so we won't be worried about procuring that spot or hoping to get annual maintenance fees. No major changes, just trying to get more money coming in, if that's said correctly. Yeah. And any questions anybody has, anytime, spot with me, Joe, Jennifer, Pastor Anna, Johnny, Herbert. We'll answer any question we can. If we can't come up with it on our own, we'll get our heads together and come up with the answer. But we hopefully have made it simpler, easier reading in the new policy. Just trying to make it easier. Anything else? Bradley, what was it we said? Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Go in peace, you are the body of Christ.
Thanks be to God.